Security issues are hiding in every church. Do you know where to look for them? I'm Church Safety Advocate Lori Morrison, and I'm so glad you've joined me at the intersection of faith and true crime. Our churches need to be the safest places in our communities. So our mission here is to find actionable steps that will make our churches sanctuaries of safety. We're going to investigate the unlovely truth about real crime stories affecting real churches so you can help make your church a safe and secure place. I've got new cases for us to investigate today, so let's dive right in. Trust is, or it should be, the cornerstone of any good relationship. That's why members of Michael Gene Bryan's Greater Sweetfield Missionary Baptist Church in the Coconut Grove section of Miami, Florida, were so upset when the pastor allegedly claimed a dead person's Social Security benefits. That's a federal crime right there. The indictment against him says that he had become a Social Security payee for a certain individual. Typically, that will happen when somebody, for whatever reason, can't manage their own funds. So this is a person who is struggling in some way. The payee is supposed to be sure that the person is having their needs taken care of and paid for. If you're a payee, you're also supposed to let the Social Security Administration know if the person you're helping dies. Apparently, Pastor Bryant is being accused of not doing that for 12 years. So that's not a little, whoopsie, I forgot. I don't know if this person he was supposed to be helping was part of his church or not, but to me, that doesn't really matter. If he did do this, such a shocking lack of integrity should disqualify him to lead any church, anywhere. Along with the Georgia pastor, R.A. Hill, who stands accused of theft by deception and identity fraud. He says that he's innocent, but authorities say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, okay, that's what I say. But authorities do allege that Hill sold cars and would use previous customers' names to register additional vehicles without permission. This guy's story highlights how important it is to run background checks on church staff and volunteers. Reporter Justin Gray was able to uncover the fact that Hill had been convicted of identity theft and other charges before. You have absolutely got to look into the integrity of people who are representing your church to your community before you hire them or allow them to volunteer. In our next two cases, a background check might not have alerted a hiring committee to the character issues that shocked their friends and family. But there were clues. There are always clues. 37-year-old Sarah Sheffer was a well-liked teacher at a Christian school in Missouri. Now she's accused of, and even allegedly admitted to, poisoning her husband in an attempt to kill him. He'd been ill for weeks and decided to set up a hidden camera in the kitchen of the house that he and Sarah shared. So I'm saying he knew that there were clues. He knew that there were red flags. Who just immediately says, I think I need to set up a hidden camera to catch my spouse perhaps trying to poison me? Because apparently there'd been multiple instances where she'd made him a smoothie or some sort of other drink that he says tasted bitter. And then afterward, he began to feel extreme fatigue, confusion, blurred vision, severe cotton mouth, nausea, and probably some other horrible things. His hidden camera seems to have caught her adding the root of a poisonous plant to what she had prepared for him. It's alleged that she did this with the intent to harm him and that she did know that that root could kill him. Why would she do this? That's the first thing that comes to my mind, and probably yours too. It seems she was having an affair, so I'm guessing that for whatever reason, I don't know if it was her faith convictions, or if it was a money issue, or what it was. But she seems to maybe not have wanted a divorce, but having a dead spouse, that might be helpful. Now, the school issued a statement, which I'm going to read to you, as an example of what not to say in a crisis. As a Christian community, Calvary Lutheran High School believes in protecting the well-being of all individuals who are part of our programs, and we seek to respond in a caring and sensitive manner to everyone in our school community. With this in mind, consistent action has been taken in response to the notification. Blah, 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 blah. Those are just buzzwords, and they don't convey any actual information. They're not going to make people want to trust you when that's the type of response you have. Now, I understand there may be certain information they can't release because of privacy issues and other issues. But still, if that's the truth, then say that. Give at least one concrete example of something that you're going to do to help anybody in this community who needs it. In other words, you've got to be a servant, not just a mouthpiece. Every church has physical, emotional, and spiritual safety issues. Most just don't know it. Don't wait for a tragedy before you address yours. Helping churches become proactive about safety is why I wrote Reclaiming Sanctuary, Enhancing Physical, Emotional, and Spiritual Safety in Our Churches. I've been where you are, in a leadership position, needing an intentional approach customized to the needs of my unique church. I'm offering a free 20-minute strategy call for anyone interested in enhancing safety at their church. You don't have to be on the security team to email me and ask for yours. So do that today at lori@theunlovelytruth.com and schedule your no-risk, all-reward call. Background checks also don't do any good if a church is willing to cover up information about a predator in their midst. It's no secret that the Catholic Church in the past move known pedophiles to new parishes to try to keep the problem of the sexual abuse of children in the church under wraps. And I'm not trying to pick on the Catholic Church. We know that the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, has had issues with that. And I know, because people are in other denominations and affiliations, that they've had trouble too. Some of those priests finally faced justice, as did the men who covered up their crimes. This particular story really grabbed my attention because the author of an article that I read, Gregory Flannery, says that his childhood priest tried to kill him. He hadn't been molested by this priest from his high school years, but he knew all about Father Earl Bierman's reputation as someone you didn't want to be alone with. It seems like Bierman was also pretty widely known for making sexually inappropriate comments to young men. Now let's fast forward to the 90s. Gregory has grown up and now he's a reporter. He discovered that even as educated as most priests are, they didn't know not to talk to the press. After he saw how much information he could get just by asking, he tracked down the priest in charge of supervising Bierman. That man acknowledged what Bierman had done, which led to Bierman's arrest. And then Bierman made an incredible mistake. He called a former victim who happened to own a radio station, and that man recorded their conversation. While they were talking, Bierman threatened to kill Gregory Flannery, blaming the reporter for his troubles, rather than owning up to the fact that it was his own disgusting actions that had led to the mess he was in. Bierman is in jail now for a very long time. To me, what he did is so disturbing, but just as disturbing is the fact that people knew and they actively covered it up. They were more worried about this priest's reputation and the reputation of the church as a whole than they were about victims and the lifelong consequences that people who have been victims of childhood sexual abuse have to deal with. And April is Childhood Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. So this is a very, very apt story to be talking about right now. And these people even had files with notes all about what Bierman had done. I wish there was a way that they could be held criminally responsible as well. So what I want to ask you to think about now, is there anything going on in your church that's maybe being swept under the rug? And somebody said something to me just the other day that I thought was so genius. They said, when you keep sweeping things under the rug, you just get a big lump that's going to trip you up. The Bible verse that I wanted to talk about this week, I think is very, very apt for all of our cases. And it's from Proverbs 28. I love Proverbs. It's the 13th verse. And this is from the NIRV. Anyone who hides their sins doesn't succeed. But anyone who admits their sins and gives them up finds mercy. Whether we're denying wrong things that we've done or making excuses for them or trying to hide them, we're not honoring God. And this is one reason why running background checks on church staff and volunteers is so important. People with things to hide will do just that. They're not going to come clean and tell you the things that might disqualify them for whatever position they're seeking. Background checks are a necessary first step, but let's not just stop there. Ask for references and then actually check them. So many predators rely on the fact that they can charm their way into positions of trust because they know that so many churches will just take people at face value. And they know we can be a little naive and we can trust very, very easily. Sometimes too easily. And what should you do if your background or reference check uncovers something concerning? What about forgiveness? The Christian faith certainly teaches us that God will forgive any sin when we repent. And because God forgives us, we should forgive other people too. But restoration is an entirely different matter. Shepherds are tasked with protecting their flocks. So when it comes to putting someone who has shown that they've had integrity issues into an area that requires high integrity, we have to put the well-being of the flock first. And let's look at this from another angle. If your church allows a known pedophile to work with kids or youth, and that person reoffends, that would be a very bad fact against the church if there's a lawsuit. Not to mention the reputational hit your church would take. If you were looking for a church home, would you choose a church where a volunteer or a staff member had harmed a child and then that church had really fumbled in handling that situation? Predators can take down a whole church when we aren't vigilant enough to protect every single person that God has placed in our care. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Send me an email at Lori, that's L-O-R-I, at theunlovelytruth.com, or you can message me on social media. You can find me on LinkedIn at The Unlovely Truth, Facebook at The Unlovely Truth, and Instagram at The Unlovely Truth Podcast. I love it when people are willing to have hard but impactful conversation that will strengthen safety at the intersection of faith and true crime in their churches.